ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्याज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये.
We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, Lord Shiva Saves the Universe. Text number 44.
Tapyante lokatapena
sadhava prayasho janaha
parama radhanam tadhi
purushasya kilatmanaha
tapyante lokatapena
sadhava prayasho janaha
parama radhanam tadhi
purushasya kilatmanaha. It is under obligations to karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastra says,
tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido na labhyate yad brahmatam uparayataha.
One should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of the reactions of karma. What is that? One should endeavor to become Krishna conscious. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord who is within everyone supplies him whatever he wants. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita.
Tesham nityabdi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham.
Again, as stated here,
tapyante lokatapena sarvak prayasho janaha.
The best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Since the conditioned souls are suffering only for want of Krishna consciousness, the Lord himself also comes to mitigate the suffering of humanity.
Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srajamyaham paritranaya sadhunam nashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge.
Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of your religion, at that time I descend myself. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. All the Shastras conclude, therefore, that spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world. Because of the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general, the Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee.
Tapyante lokatapena sarava prayaso jana parama araranam tadi purushasya kilatmana.
Gopremanande. Don't you feel better now?
Yes.
Because one of the austerities of speech is to regularly recite the Vedic literatures. And if you, there's an experiment they have with, I've heard, with frog. If they put a frog into a hot pan of water, he jumps right out. But if you put him in and you, I mean, I don't recommend this for anybody anywhere, but I've heard this happens, and you slowly turn up the heat, he doesn't even notice it until. So in a similar way, in our lives, Rupa Goswami has recommended tanama rupa charitaru sikirtananu smrityo karmena rasana manasi niyoja tishtan vraje tanara ragi janaru gami kalam nayera kilamiti padesha saram. And that is that you should organize your life around this principle of hearing and chanting. And by that, you'll gradually come to Goloka Vrindavan. And if you do it by increments, you keep adding a little more to your practice, either each week or month or year or day, then you don't notice it practically that everything else is being squeezed out until you're all day long hearing and chanting. And that's a good progression throughout life, because we may be a little busier in the middle of life, and at the end of life, we want to be able to be fully absorbed in hearing and chanting. And not only that, so this verse, Tapyante Lokatapena, this is the happiness of devotees. It sounds funny when you use the word tapena. I was talking about tapasya. Actually, it's mentioned elsewhere, and Prabhupada used to say this is the wealth of brahmanas, tapasya. And as we mentioned yesterday, you'll get tapasya whether you voluntarily accept it or not. It just, tapasya comes. Tapasya happens. That's a bumper sticker. And those who are wise, they direct their tapasya in such a way that they can please Krishna. And now we've discovered in this verse, and we can find in other verses as well, the best kind of tapasya to please Krishna. What makes him the happiest? And so this verse says, Tapyante lokatapena prayasa, what is it? Tapyante lokatapena sarava prayasojana. Parama aradhanam. So parama aradhanam. So aradhanam means worship. Parama aradhanam. And parama means the supreme. So the supreme form of worship, parama aradhanam tati, is to accept voluntary suffering for the sake of helping others, saving others. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this means spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. And you'll find in other places, Prabhupada defines an advanced devotee as one who's thinking about this all day long. And that is how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. In fact, his definition of an uttama adhikari is there in the fifth verse of the Upadeshamrita. And there he mentions that a person who's completing with gusto the devotional practices which are prescribed, and also thinking about how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world and actually participating in that. This is what Prabhupada's definition of an uttama adhikari is, at least in that verse. And what is the vision of the devotees? That is given in the Sri Upanishad. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmayavad bhut vijanataha tatra ko mohakashoka ekat vamanupashyataha yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanupashyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatuna vijugupsite. One who sees all living entities as spiritual sparks and quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things, what then can be illusion or anxiety for him? And in the other verse, it says, one who systematically sees all living entities and everything in relationship with the Supreme Lord, never hates anything or any being. Anupashyati means to follow in the footsteps of the great souls, and also to follow the Shastra, to see how everyone is actually a part and parcel of Krishna. And in some religious systems, there's a method of worshiping which is a portable temple. There happens to be one in the New Jersey airport, in the meditation lounge. A lot of airports have these meditation lounges. In California, they call them yoga space or something like that. But people can go in there and worship as they're traveling, and when I go in there, and by the way, just a little tip on the side, if you're ever stranded in an airport, the best place to go is to the chapel meditation lounge, because you can sit in there peacefully and chant your rounds and no one will bother you. And inside this lounge in New Jersey, there's a tabernacle. It's a portable temple. Apparently, nomadic tribes used to bring their temple with them, a movable church, so to speak. Inside is the essence of the divine, and they would worship there. And I see this little box inside the New Jersey airport, and inside there's the divine essence that many come and worship according to their faith. And you'll notice that throughout his books, Srila Prabhupada mentions that living entities, that is, the movable living entities that we see around us, like human beings, for instance. What other kind of living entities? How many are there, by the way, walking around? Huh? 8,400,000. We'll assure you that you'd be able to mention a few more. Names? Humans, rabbits, thank you. Any others? Dogs, cats, rodents, birds. Don't forget the mongoose. Mongoose. There are mongoose all over the world. Well, not all over the world. Marsupials. They all move around. What's moving them? Krishna talks about this in the Gita. He said there's a divine spark within. The body is a biological robot that's been provided by material nature. But inside, actually, is not only the divine spark, which is part and parcel of Krishna, which is a person eternally, has personality, is sentient, and has a history. So similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayesh arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. I go with these living entities everywhere. Whatever body they go to, Krishna accompanies them. So now what you have is a world full of tabernacles, because every living entity, moving or non-moving for that matter, has the divine essence, the part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Lord himself. This is confirmed in all the Shastra, that Krishna is there and the living entity is there. And for those who have this vision, Krishna is never lost. And for those who are following in the footsteps of those who have that vision, they may also, anupashiti, they may follow in their footsteps and see like that and cultivate that vision by doing the highest service, which is mentioned here, parama aradhanam tadi, which is to go out of one's way to help those living entities in their plight. What is that? They've been captured by the material nature. And from time immemorial, they've been forced to take rebirth in various species of life and suffer the threefold miseries. Now, there is a purpose to the entire material creation. This material creation is actually the Srishti Lila of the Lord. The Lord's creating this world again and again by his breathing. Yashaika nishvasitakala matava lambya jivanti loma vilajajik. Jagannanatha, he's exhaling, and all the worlds are manifested. And then when he inhales, everything's wound back up again within the body of Mahavishnu. Who comes to this world in the form of Mahavishnu? Advaita Acharya. You'll find this in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu. He's also a limb of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he comes to this world, that is, Advaita Acharya, he can't tolerate the suffering of others. And this is the mood of the Vaishnavas. They're paradhukadhuki. That is, they suffer because of the suffering of others. Needless suffering. Living entities are entranced by the material nature as if in a bad dream. And the great souls, like Advaita Acharya, suffer by seeing them going through this cycle of birth and death again and again. So Advaitacharya comes to the world and he begins to teach Bhagavad Gita as it is. So this is mentioned in this verse. One of the most important ways that one can help oneself, help others, and help the entire world is to teach Bhagavad Gita. And in fact, anyone who wants to have an instant Krishna consciousness movement in whatever place they live, and people may live in many obscure places in the world, that's possible, isn't it? What are some of them that you all live in that are really obscure?
Pengrove,
okay, let's see if we can beat Pengrove. You've never all heard of Pengrove. Huh? Where? Where else? See, that's why it's obscure. You have to mention one that's, you can't, everyone says, where is that? Where else do you all live that's obscure, we never heard of? Rochester, New York. That's an obscure place. Or within Rochester, one may live in obscurity. Whatever. it's possible. In fact, the whole material creation, those who are engaging again and again in activities that are not related to Krishna become insignificant because they're detached from their real purpose in life. So, how to start an instant Krishna consciousness movement in your own home or apartment? Well, apartment could be a home. Or wherever you might be, it doesn't matter. You can be in a van, you can be homeless. But if you get a Bhagavad Gita as it is, and you simply begin reading it and then teaching it to others, this is what Advaitacharya did. This is how the Lord Chaitanya's, this is the precursor to Lord Chaitanya's movement, is Advaitacharya coming, and he just sat down in one place and he taught Bhagavad Gita. Now, an interesting thing that happens when you sit down and you begin teaching Krishna consciousness, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you can preach to the four walls if you have to. We don't mind, because if you go anywhere with the mood that even if no one shows up, I'm fine, because at least I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, and I'm satisfied. And in fact, if one is satisfied by reading Bhagavad Gita, then you'll be a Sukhi Nara, which means a happy human. That's mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, that shaknoti haivaya shodhum praksharira vimokshanat. Kama krodo babam begam sayukta sa Sukhi Narahas. Everyone say Sukhi Nara.
Sukhi Nara.
It's Japanese. Sukhi Nara. Sukhi Nara. It means happy human. You become a happy human. And he says there, if you're able to check the forces, the vegas of lust and anger before you leave your body, then you'll become a happy human. And you need a little power to do that. And where's the power come from? Bhagavad Gita. So get yourself a little place to sit. A little mat, a little chair, doesn't matter what you sit on, and take the Bhagavad Gita as it is and start reading it out loud. Then, if you really want some excitement, invite in a friend or two. I had this experience, and this is one of the best ways. Anyone who's a grihastha means you live in a house with a spouse. And you maybe think, well, how can I create a Krishna consciousness movement in my house with a spouse? And the answer is with Bhagavad Gita as it is. All you have to do is get the book. You just need a book, more is better. And then set up a time when you're going to read the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And then invite somebody over. And it could be anybody. It could be a friend, or it could be a relative, or somebody you meet, and tell them, yeah, I teach Bhagavad Gita. And they'll come over to your house, and you open the Bhagavad Gita as is, you start reading, and then to the best of your ability, you begin to explain what it means and have a conversation with the people. Let them tell what they've heard from the Bhagavad Gita. There you have an instant Hare Krishna movement in your house. Except for one thing. You also need prasadam. And I had this experience because in our house, near Burlingame, California, we moved there from Los Angeles, I married my wife in Yerkula in, if I'm not mistaken, 1986. We moved to San Francisco because at that time I was going out to distribute books at the airport, at many airports, and we just it just so happened that that airport was an extremely good spot. So we moved there near the airport. We get to work there. It was far away from temples. So we started a little program, opened the Bhagavad Gita, read. And three or four people came because I was only giving them popcorn at the end. And then one day Nirkula said, well, why don't you let me cook? As I said, go ahead. And as soon as she started cooking, we had 25, 30 people. And in fact, after a while, we had to close the program. After 16 years, we had to stop the program because so many people were coming that we couldn't accommodate them all, and we have to leave someone out, and then they complain, you don't love us anymore. So we moved it to a bigger venue, which turned into the temple we have down there in Silicon Valley, part of the genesis of that temple. There was a confluence of various other devotees, but the genesis of that and the momentum came from one little house. We live in a small little house. But it felt big because people would come in and nobody minded being crammed in together. People would sit in the little corner, whatever they had to do, just to hear Bhagavad Gita and discuss with others and feel the safe environment when they could actually make friends with other devotees and then discuss, as Prabhupada said, thoroughly threadbare. And when that happens in association with like-minded devotees, a miracle occurs, and that is faith grows within the heart. And this is the most valuable substance in the universe. And that faith is defined in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahe Sudrita Nishchoy Krishne Bhakti Koila Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. Faith means that you begin to realize that if I just do bhakti, it's not only the coolest thing in the world, it's also all I have to do, because everything else will come. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedeshu yagdeshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam pratishtam atyeti tat sarve idam viditva yogi param stanam upaiti chadyam. That is basically, if you do bhakti, then you cover everything else. Don't worry. All the study of the Vedas, Vedeshu, yagneshu, all your yagyas are covered. Daneshu, all your charity is covered. All your tapasya is covered if you do bhakti. And so this is a very powerful thing that everybody can do. And these books are especially potent because they're portable. That Krishna incarnates in the form of a book so that you can take advantage. You can carry him around. And not only that, books are containers. They hold seeds. And books change the world. So you can take books out and make them available to other people as well. They can take them home and they can start a little program in their home as well. So if you take some trouble for the sake of expanding the vibration, and this is what happens, if you start in a small corner of the world that seems obscure, but you make a pure vibration, then it will expand, just like matsya. Matsya started off as a little minnow. King Satyavrata was standing by the river one day and he was doing some worship there. And this little minnow came up to him and said, my dear king, you're my protector. I'm going to be eaten by a bigger fish. It's your duty to protect me. And the king said, of course I'll protect you. And he scooped him up and put him in a little jar because he was just a tiny little fish. And then he put him the next day, when he noticed that the fish had grown a little bigger, into a bowl. And then when he came back a little while later, he saw that fish had grown and he said, put me in something bigger. And so he put him in a tub, then he put him in a pond, then he put him in a lake, then he put him in an ocean, and then he grew to be millions of yojanas long, this fish. He was not an ordinary fish, Prabhupada said. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in a similar way, pure devotional service always expands. If you're in some corner of the world and you make a pure vibration, which means you find the sincerity in your heart while you're hearing and chanting, And you focus your mind on that sincerity, and then you make the vibration, and Krishna will hear it, and then he'll begin to send people from all over the world. And we may note with profit that Srila Prabhupada started the Krishna consciousness movement in the same way. He came with, in fact, he wrote, when he was on the Jaladuta, he signed his letter to Krishna, "Your most insignificant beggar." Now, usually beggars are insignificant, but this was not an insignificant beggar. And Prabhupada became the most significant all over the world because of making the pure vibration. So when he came, his process was the same as Advaitacharya's, to sit in a place and chant Hare Krishna and to teach Bhagavad Gita. And then what happened? No one could have written that script ahead of time. And in the same way, all of us have that opportunity. This is called spiritual entrepreneurialism. There are other companies that start like this. For instance, the Apple Corporation. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak started in a little garage. They had some utsahan, some enthusiasm for their product. And nobody cared for their product at the time. Everyone thought they were a couple of petulant young men. And they continued to improve and to promote their product, and from a tiny little garage, it turned into a big company. Same with Hewlett and Packard. Especially in Silicon Valley, these stories are rampant. There's the story of Hewlett and Packard started in a little garage and they turned into a big corporation. So Srila Prabhupada started in a little room in Radha Damodar, just writing his books and chanting and very sincerely praying to his spiritual master that, "Please let me spread Krishna consciousness all over the world." And in fact, he writes in a poem that he penned in the Radha Damodar temple before he came to America, Vrindavane Bhajan, that what are people doing all over the world? They're sitting in their homes and they're looking out the window down the road wondering, "When are Nitai and Gaur going to come and save me?" Were you aware of that? That that's what they're doing in there? So that's an opportunity. And those who are spiritual entrepreneurs know that the opportunity is ubiquitous. You can go anywhere and make the same vibration and do the best you can wherever you are, and it will expand. And if you're thinking, "How can I involve others?" you're in the mood of this verse. Tapyante lokatapena. How can I bring more people in? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada writes that the only business of the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement is to go on expanding the preaching of Krishna consciousness unlimitedly. How much? That's a lot. And that means there's a lot to do. There's lots of jobs. There's no dearth of jobs or activities. A couple of reflections before I move on to the next part. That means anything you heard so far from the verse or monologue that's stuck in your mind. And just as a refresher, a reflection just means something you heard and you're just reflecting it back. It's not a question, no questions yet. And we have an extra microphone for Hayagriva Prabhu, who's right here, and you'll get it in 7 seconds or less, or your money back from this class today. Right here, where the effulgence is coming from. There.
Tapasya will come, whether we accept it or not. And we should redirect it towards preaching Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, this is an important point to keep in mind. Tasyaiva heto prayate tako bido lalabhyate yad brahmatamu pariyada. This is Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva, and he says that don't try to get any more happiness because it's already allotted to you. One devotee I was just with when we were in Connecticut, she flew over from Kauai, and her name is Newton, and she was saying, when you're born, you have a contract. You're born with a contract. It's already chalked out what the terms are. This is the karma. And you can't wriggle out of the contract, except if you surrender to Krishna. You have to put yourself in the mercy of the court, declare bankruptcy, and say, I'm no good for it here in the material world anymore. In fact, Prabhupada mentions in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam how near the end of the universe, when Sankarshan begins to do his dance of destruction, he becomes a little annoyed with the living entities because they haven't taken advantage of the many opportunities they've been given to take to Krishna consciousness. And then the Rudras burst out from his eyebrows and they began their dance of destruction and they burned the place down. So Prabhupada says the material creation is given as an opportunity for the living entity to close down his little business here. Actually, close down his business. I added little because whenever I'm in India, I see these shops. I don't know how they stay in business. Little wooden shops. And all they have is these little packets of... What's that stuff called? Pan? You say pan or pawn? Pawn? Little packets of pawn hanging down in little rolls. And I look in there and it's like, how do you stay in business year after year? And there's 100 of them in a row. I mean, how much pawn can you sell, right? And I always think of every little jiva's got a little shop here in the material world. And Prabhupada says, hey, give you an opportunity to close down your shop. Close down your little business here and take up with Krishna. And start over, spiritual entrepreneurialism. And by the way, it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the greatest capitalist. So just like when you start a company, you need some venture capital. You have to have some resources to get started up. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will back you. He say, I'll back anybody. If you just take the risk. Entrepreneurs like risk. You all like risk, right? Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the spirit. That's exciting. If you say, like, I like to take some risk. I don't like the safe point. In fact, one thing I've thought of over the years is, like, going out on Sankirtan as an example. When you leave your hearth and home, and you go away from your comfy little ashram, where you know what's going to, well, you think you know what's going to happen. And as soon as you walk out the door with the intention of going out, to let me try to spread Krishna consciousness, meet people, give them Krishna consciousness, how do you feel? A little nervous. Am I correct? Or is it just me? You nervous?
Yes.
Okay, good. It makes me feel better. But once you get out into that, because it's authorized, because it's backed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so you can't fail. In spiritual life, there's no risk and all gain. In material life, it's all risk and no gain. In the beginning, one thinks, I'm risking everything to take the spiritual life. But as one gets shraddha, faith, which is a real substance, real wealth, you begin to understand that it's actually, material life is all risk and no gain. Spiritual life is all gain and no risk. So when I go out into my zone where I'm not comfortable anymore, then I'm in a good zone. So if you feel comfortable outside your comfort zone, and you feel uncomfortable inside your comfort zone, you're in a good zone. And that's what this preaching does, because you just don't know what's going to happen next. Living entities say the darndest things. And they do the darndest things, too. When you meet them and you talk to them, they do all kinds of crazy stuff. And that really keeps you on your toes throughout a whole lifetime, if you dedicate yourself to it. And what was I saying before that? Oh, tapasya. Yeah, so this is a great tapasya to take it upon oneself to go out. So I was taking reflections. Right, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That you can start a movement from your small apartment just by reading the Bhagavad Gita and inviting a person or two over.
Yeah, Dvaitacharya did it. And he set the example for us. That's why he's called Advaita, because his purpose is non-different from the Lord's purpose. And he's called Acharya, because he sets the example of how to do it. So Advaita Acharya did that, and he also prayed that Krishna would descend. And we can do that too. And he discovered that if you call out to Krishna, and if you, he found in the Shastra, if you offer Krishna Ganges water and Tulsi leaves, then he'll sell himself to you. This insider tip from Advaitacharya. And he called out with all his heart, and then Lord Chaitanya appeared. Okay. Apurva Prabhu.
If you do bhakti, you cover everything else.
If you do bhakti, you cover everything else. Yes. This is Shraddha. This is the growing mood. That by doing bhakti, everything else covered.
One should be thinking all day long, how does the Krishna consciousness move and all of
it? Yes, this is a kind of absorption, meditation on the internal energy of the Lord. And this is why. Prabhupada mentions in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of His internal potency. Please repeat. The order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of His internal potency, and it is by that potency that one comes to see the Lord face to face. The order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mercifully, and all Gaudiya Vaishnavas say this, they say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. He ordered everybody. He said, become a guru and go out and preach Krishna conscious. It's there. That's all we need. It's just like a court order. It covers everything. In New York City, the court said, anybody can sell any kind of book in New York. It's just a law. Because they're New York. And they sell books there. And so anybody can go out and sell books. And when the court makes an order, this is empowered speech. If I come up to you and say, you just won $1 million, you go, thanks, Vaish, and walk away. But if you go to the court and the judge says it, you'll go, wow, I just got $1 million. And if Lord Chaitanya says it, then you're good to go. You just take the order. And so he says, take this order and go out and spread Krishna consciousness. All back you. That's all you need. That's all the capital you need to get started. Yes.
Start simple, but create a pure vibration.
Yes. I had many discussions back and forth with a group of friends. And fortunately, there actually was three of us. And the two other friends represented various points of view about how to adjust the message of Krishna consciousness so that it would spread all over the world. And now, many of you may be aware, there are ongoing discussions about how to adjust culturally so that we can present Krishna consciousness. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay. So, in our discussion over several days, and sometimes even heated discussion, we came to a sanguine conclusion, which was that the essence is that no matter where you are, who you are, or what you're wearing, if you make a pure vibration, it will expand. It always works everywhere, at all times, in all places. So try for that. Who's next? Yes. Rukmini right there. She got her hand. Okay, 1, 2.
That the living entity is also a living tabernacle.
Yes. It's a moving temple. And so we see, can you give me the other verse? This is a good time to show this. The other verse I ordered. Lord Kapiladev, third canto, mentions that, if you can't fight it, I'll just tell him, but, oh, thank you very much. I promised you yesterday that I would read you something that would astound you, and that if you don't want to be astounded, you should go for a long walk during the class. So here it is. Lord Kapiladev says, one who worships, this is in 3:29-22, one who worships the deity of Godhead in the temples but does not know that the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is situated in every living entity's heart must be in ignorance and is compared to one who offers oblations into ashes. And Prabhupada writes, it is stated clearly herein that the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His plenary expansion of Supersoul is present in all living entities. The living entities have 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is living in every body, both as the individual soul and as the Supersoul. Since the individual soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, in that sense, the Lord is living in every body. And as super soul, the Lord is also present as a witness. In both cases, the presence of God in every living entity is essential. Therefore, persons who profess to belong to some religious sect, but who do not feel the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every living entity and everywhere else, are in the mode of ignorance. If without this preliminary knowledge of the Lord's omnipresence, one simply attaches himself to the rituals in a temple, church, or mosque, it is as if he were offering butter into ashes rather than into fire. One offers sacrifices by pouring clarified butter into a fire and chanting Vedic mantras. But even if there are Vedic mantras and all conditions are favorable, if the clarified butter is poured on ashes, then such a sacrifice will be useless. In other words, a devotee should not ignore any living entity. I'll read that again. In other words, a devotee should not ignore any living entity. This is the mood of Sankirtan. In all times, in all places, in all circumstances, making a conscious contact with other living entities for the purpose of doing good for them by giving Krishna consciousness. Everyone still okay?
Yes.
Keep going?
Yes.
Okay. The devotee must know that in every living entity, however insignificant he may be, even in an ant, God is present. And therefore, every living entity should be kindly treated and should not be subjected to any violence. In modern civilized society, slaughterhouses are regularly maintained and supported by a certain type of religious principle. But without knowledge of the presence of God in every living entity, any so-called advancement of human civilization, either spiritual or material, is to be understood as being in the mode of ignorance. What do you think? As on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most astounding and 1 being, like, it's not very interesting. What would you say?
15.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, there was Rukmini. Microphone here. Oh, I'm sorry you're here. Go ahead. We'll get there.
In the beginning of class, you said how our life should be hearing and chanting, and this can be done in increments. And before you know it, little by little, your whole life will be chanting and hearing.
That's right. Keep adding to your program until there's nothing left but hearing and chanting. That includes preaching. Yes.
Yeah, so it says that the great souls have to accept voluntary suffering, and in the purport it says that they do this for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. So I was reflecting that Krishna told Arjuna that for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So it's actually kind of much easier to sit at home and do your Krishna consciousness just for yourself. But as soon as you start trying to spread it, then criticism starts coming from all directions. So this is the suffering that we need to accept in order to spread.
Thank you. Good point. And also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that when you go out to teach Krishna consciousness to others and they give you some resistance, what kind of resistance might they give you? You might be misunderstood or neglected. Have you ever been neglected before? Anybody ever knock on a door and if somebody opens it and closes it right away? And you're like, what? What? I'm just standing here. What did I say? You know, what was it? He said, you get chidrakta for your chidsharira. So chidsharira means your spiritual body. You're growing your spiritual body right now in the process of sadhana. But this going out to teach others is high sadhana. And he said when you're neglected and misunderstood, when you go out to teach Krishna consciousness, it gives you this chidrakta or spiritual blood for your chidsharira. That's why you'll know, you'll feel stronger and stronger spiritually. And in fact, these two things together, hearing and chanting, which we talked about yesterday, and then going out to teach Krishna consciousness, or going in to teach Krishna consciousness, but inviting people into your space. These two combined make super sadhana. Just like there's rice. Who likes rice? Okay, any Bengalis in here? They really like rice, yes. Okay. So rice is a universal staple. It's a good food. And there's also dal, which is also a good food, right? Anybody like dal? If you put the two together, you get synergy. You get 42% more nutrition, according to Jamuna's cookbook and the section on rice. And in a similar way, when you hear and chant, and then you go out to spread Krishna consciousness, these are both sadhana. But then when you mix them together, you get the super sadhana. Yes?
Hare
Krishna.
You actually said, I was about to say, that you need other people for understanding. And I feel like, in my experience of teaching Gita, I understand at a heightened level when I interact and engage with other people. And that actually it's a heightened mental state that you're in when you're teaching and interacting with people with the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes. And it's amazing because actually Krishna's there within other living entities. He says in the Bhagavad Gita that living entities are amazing. So actually that's the only amazing thing in this world. The material nature is going on in a uniform way. It's predictable. But living entities with free will are amazing. And what is consciousness anyway? It's really hard. If you just look at somebody right now, you'll see there's somebody looking back at you. That's interesting. And when you go out to teach Krishna consciousness to others, you'll actually realize that these other living entities are being informed by the Supreme Lord also, and they can become inspired in ways that will inspire you. The other day, well, actually it was last year, I was walking with Kasturba Prabhu, because we did an event in New York City where there were a lot of young people that came from Alachua on a bus. And they came to New York City to learn how to do book distribution and on the streets of New York. That's an interesting place to start. So we met at the Brooklyn Temple and we had some training for around 5 hours. I taught them an infallible way to sell Bhagavad Gita. I guaranteed them if they learned this method, one template, they could sell a Bhagavad Gita anywhere, at any time, to any person. And it's true, and I stand by that. And so before we started that program, the day before, I went with Kasturba, because he knows New York very well, and he was taking me around so we could chalk out places where we could stage this and we could take out all these devotees. Because there were a lot of them. There were maybe 35 or something. And in the process, a couple of devotees, the brahmacharis, came along with us. They saw us walking around, so they were book distributors, so they came around. And I was mentioning that New York has many shops, and you can go inside the shops and you can meet people and give them books also. And so they said, yeah, let's see you do it. That's always exciting. And I said, yeah, Krishna, let's see me do it. So we went in a couple shops, people took books, we came out, and then we walk along, one of the brahmacharis said, try that one. And I looked over and it was a wine shop. I said, all right. Because when you go on a sankirtan, you just try to depend on Krishna and go everywhere. I said, I don't know who's in the wine shop. I don't know what they're going to say when I go in the wine shop. Open the door, a little bell rings. I look behind the counter, and there's this humble Indian man behind the counter. And he sees my tilak and he's like, oh, darn. And busted. I thought nobody'd see me in here ever. So he already had his donation out before I could hand him the book. And then, about an hour later, we're coming around the corner and there's an open fire station. And the door's open. And they're all hanging out and there's a hot day. They're in there hanging out. They have their uniform, you know, half their equipment on, like they just came back from a run. They're just hanging out, kind of relaxed, having a good time. About 20 of them. And so we were walking past and I was looking at them. And Kasturba goes, go ahead, Vaish, I know you want to do it. So I saw the guy with the thing that said chief on it. So I said, oh, hi, how are you? And he was real friendly. He said, great. And so I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, and I explained it to him. He said, books on yoga, meditation, shows you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right? And he goes, yeah, of course I've heard of stress. And I said, really? You don't look stressed. You look spiritual. And he goes, wow, I do? And I said, yeah. And I said, what's your secret? And he goes, I don't know. I just try to keep a good attitude about life. And I said, that's fantastic. And I showed him more about the book. And then I said, we don't sell these like in a bookstore. We just ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. He goes, fantastic, I'll give a donation. They gave a donation. I said, do you believe in the power of prayer? And he said, yes, I do. I said, I'm going to teach you this prayer from Sanskrit. It's meant to wake up pure love for God in your heart. And he goes, guys, get over here. The whole fire station. We have a photo of this. We had a photo op at the end. He said, you guys get over here. I want you to chant this prayer. So he gets the whole fire department, all these big burly guys, you know. And I go, Hare Krishna. And he goes,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare.
And then I gave each one of them a piece of prasadam, because there's no earthly reason. Why not to carry around prasadam with you and just give it out wherever you go? That's the easiest thing on earth, free space. And so we took a group photo, a lot of love in that fire station. Everyone got a little book. The chief got a Bhagavad Gita, and we walked home happy as a lark. You can't get any happier than that. And so, you know, it's a big, wide world out there. And if you just go out and try to be nice to people, see the living entity within the heart. And another really helpful instruction that we get in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that you don't have to teach everybody. You only have to teach people who are innocent. That makes it a lot easier. So that instruction comes right in the 11th canto. Havi Yogendra said, Ishvare taradineshu balisheshu dusatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. And that is, the teacher of Krishna consciousness has to be selective. So you have to see Krishna, and you develop love for Krishna. You have to know what devotees are. And you have to respect the devotees, and you have to form appropriate friendships with them. And then you have to see the innocent. And when you find somebody who's innocent, and you'll know it when you meet them, you pour in as much mercy as possible. And that's a good occupation, good work if you can get it. And then you have to see the envious. And if somebody's envious and resistant for no apparent reason, then you are supposed to walk away. You're supposed to leave them alone so they don't become more envious. And Jiva Goswami says, sadachar means leave them alone and go away and pray for them and also think, how could I approach them in another way so they could actually take Krishna consciousness? So it's a simple process because you just select people in the world, but you have to be ready. And you get ready by hearing and chanting with all your heart and soul, and then always being aware of the fact that the living entities are moving around this world for a purpose, and that is to somehow or other come in contact with Krishna. And if you extend yourself just a little bit, your whole life becomes, your heart opens wide and you become enlivened in Krishna consciousness and you want to do more. Both these things have to be there. Okay, so we had one more reflection. Yes. You can hear where she is, triangulate. You can find her with the microphone. She's just now coming.
Like what he said about what are you going to do with a house or spouse, and when you were just cooking popcorn, and then Mother Mirakula offered to help cook, and how it expanded. And I was appreciating that when we support and cooperate, how much we can accomplish.
That's a good point. Yeah, everyone has something to offer to the Sankirtan program. And the Sankirtan system that we started in Silicon Valley many years ago, about 9 years ago, when we just had a few devotees and a little house on New Jersey Avenue. Then we moved to a little storefront. Everything little, get the idea. And we decided that we would just try to do good for others in Silicon Valley by going out and meeting them and giving them the holy name, giving them prasadam, and giving them books. Because Prabhupada liked book distribution. He just flat out liked it. In fact, he loved it. He spent all his time writing books and publishing them. That's hard. So it's a lot of work to publish one book. And he published dozens of them and then said, make these available to the whole world. In fact, the whole world, in as many languages, to as many people as possible. So that gives you a little work to do during this life. And so we decided, let us just try. He said it, so we'll try. So we made some small little goals just to go out, and some devotees went out. They risked their peace of mind, and they went out there, and they tried. And they'd come back every day with some story that this amazing thing happened, and more people got involved. And then we started what's called the monthly Sankirtan festival, and that is once a month at our temple, which is all, it's entirely outside community. No one at that time lived in the temple, all grihasthas. We'd say at least once a month, everyone would come together, and there would be a full opportunity for everyone to go out together and experience this. And so then, you know, we had five or six devotees going out, and then we'd make some goals. And in that, we decided that we wouldn't have any individual competition. It'd all just be one team, all for one and one for all. Everybody working together. We don't even report individual scores. We just say that we're all together. And we honor all the people, anybody who does backup services, anybody who goes out to try it, even people who advocate for it in the background, they all get credit. And then working as one team. So gradually over the years, it just began to grow, and we'd find ways in which to make improvements every month. And starting from that little dusty garage in Silicon Valley, then last year we were able to send from our one temple $420,000 to the BBT. That's and at one time, when we were able to, we were just as thrilled back then when we were able to send in a couple $100s as we are now with $420,000. The challenge is the same because it keeps increasing. And this is one way Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to keep his temple leaders always in anxiety. If they'd get big donations, he'd make them spend it right away. So that they were in this mood of like, well, what are we going to do now? Should always feel like that. It's like, now what do we do? And we always feel like that in our Sankirtan program and all the Sankirtan programs that we've been working with. It's like, where are we going to go from here? And all you can do is say, Lord Chaitanya, you have no idea how we're going to go from here. And he always comes in and fills in. And Prabhupada said in this purport today, he quoted the verse, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam, Yejana Pariupasate Tesham Nityabdyuktanam Yogakshemam Bahamiham. Ananyas Chintayanto Mam, if you just absorb your full consciousness in me, he said. And the best way to do that, Prabhupada continues in the purport, is through thinking about how to do good for others. Just absorb yourself in that. Even Dale Carnegie says that in his book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And that's a book every temple president should have on a nightstand. He said, if you're complete anxiety, then think about how to do something for somebody else. Get outside your limited mind and do something. But Sankirtan is something you can be in samadhi 24 hours a day, thinking, how can I do good for others and how can I keep increasing? And if you do that, then you'll constantly be in the spiritual anxiety that takes you back to the spiritual world. Live on the edge. Take a risk. Go outside and give Krishna consciousness to others. And even if it's a tiny stretch for you, you'll notice it, that Krishna will reciprocate. And that brings us to our last comment and a very quick bhajan. Hladini Shakti Prabhu. Can I have the drum back?
Thank you. I wanted to reflect on something you said that I had never heard, and probably many others, that before coming to America, in Radhadamodar, Srila Prabhupada had written a poem where he said that all the living entities in their homes are sitting, looking down the road, waiting to know, when will Gaura Nittai come to rescue me? And I thought that was a wonderful meditation, or a transformed way of looking at the marketplace for the family business. Every place is the marketplace because everyone is longing.
And you can go test that out and see for yourself. Just go knock on people's doors and say, what are you doing in there? It's like, we're looking for Gaura Nittai. Where are they? It's like, oh, well, we're their representatives. We came here. We were just in Toronto. We were in Toronto last week. And in Toronto, it was raining outside, 60 devotees went out. We all went out together. I mean, Toronto's got it together. They have enlightened leadership there, and all kinds of very advanced devotees. And one of the reasons they're feeling so much enthusiasm is because they've made a central point, the Sankirtan, going out together. So we all went out door to door in apartment buildings. And, you know, you get big, tall apartment buildings, you can start at one end and knock on every door. And when you knock on doors, sometimes they have a little peephole on the outside looking out. So you look at the peephole, and when it changes colors, you just wave. And they think, how did he see me? And they say, all right, might as well open the door. So they open the door, and we say, hi, how are you? And then there's a few devotees out there. You just introduce yourself and say, here, we're showing these books to everybody. And they take them. They invite you in. There was a Muslim man from Afghanistan. And when he saw the devotees there, he became so ecstatic. He invited them in. He sat them down. He worshipped them. He took the Bhagavad Gita. And they were thinking, how is this? And it's because living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. And when they feel good intention, when you go out to meet people, miracles will happen. And the stories will fill your heart when you're chanting japa. You'll remember the enthusiasm of people that you've met when you're chanting japa. Because you do this, Lord Nityananda will enter into your life. He's the one who went door to door also. And he'll think, you're doing my work, so I'm going to empower you to chant japa. I'm going to empower you to hear Bhagavatam and so forth. And I thank you very much. Go Premanande Haribo. So over to Prasanatma, and I thank you. Vanchakalpadurvishta kripasanabhivacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman. Hey! Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman.